Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long running things behind the scenes. At 4:45 today, we'll do it a little bit early. It'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature. We'll talk a little bit about the tight end position available for the 2025 draft and be just 2 weeks away. And it's not as good as it was 2 years ago, but it's pretty doggone good when you talk about two first-round pick tight ends and Tyler Warren and Coastin Loveland and two guys that I think will go pretty early in round two, Mason Taylor from LSU and Elijah Arroyo from University of Miami of Florida. And man, if Elijah had stayed healthy, he might be pressing Mason on that mark. So four really, really good tight end prospects, and certainly there are some a little bit later down the road, and we'll talk about that also. Before we start talking about, and certainly the Masters starts today, and all eyes are on that, and right now Justin Rose has the lead, but Scottie Scheffler, he's right there behind him, along with Corey Connors and Rory McIlroy. And see the love or hate with Rory McIlroy, but yeah, he's in the fourth spot. And so Charlie will keep everybody up to date on the Masters and the opening round. And Charlie, before we go too far, happy birthday to you.
Hey.
What's your 27 years
27
old
now, Mike. I appreciate it, man. That's cool.
Man, 27 years. I sort of remember 27 years ago. Now, I don't remember what I did when I was 27, but I got some advice. Just don't go celebrate your 27th birthday with A-Bear tonight.
Yeah, 27 seems kind of like a cursed age. I think I'm just going to stay in tonight, Mike, and maybe enjoy some Chinese food and watch the replay of the Masters because I missed most of it today.
Yeah, okay. Me and Bobby, we'll take you out one night, but don't go out by himself.
Yeah.
We got to have a designated driver there somewhere along there.
I appreciate it, Mike.
Right. Again, happy birthday to you. You do a super job, and can't be more proud of you and how well you've grown in this business. You've done a great job. Again, there's a certain look, you know, at the Masters and being at Augusta, and it is something we'll talk a lot more about. We'll have Michael Arkish on. He rated the top 100 golfers of all time. But there is something about, you know, growing up and you watch the Masters, and you know, I grew up in that era, you know, Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino and those guys. You know, they were such huge personalities, but it's the look of that golf tournament. It's the look of that feel. And it's sort of the same way, you know, growing up and you watch the Pebble Beach Open and the U.S. Open and you know, the Open now at St. Andrews. And to see that today, it is a visual sight like no other. It really is. It's really something to see if you haven't been there.
It's on my bucket list, Mike. I've always wanted to go, but I've never been to Augusta National. It is gorgeous. I mean, when you think of the Masters, you think of like Sunday morning, early afternoon, watching like, you know, these professionals just compete in this gorgeous atmosphere. And Augusta National Park is just beautiful. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. You know, it's definitely on my bucket list. I can't wait to dive into it with Michael Arkush later on in the 520 segment and kind of get his thoughts because, yeah, the top 100 golfers of all time, it's a really fascinating, you know, sport to rank because it's the most personal sport. Like if you're excelling or if you're performing badly, it's all on you. It's nobody else's fault. It's not a team sport. It's a personal sport. So I'm really looking forward to diving into some of the best golfers of all time with them.
Yeah, I did see Nicholas.
Yes.
And I think all of us, you know, kind of watch Tiger. Now, Bobby Jones, no, I didn't cover him or Ben Hogan. But I did get to see Arnold Palmer and, you know, Bobby Jones and the Ben Hogan stories, man. And they got a lot of them out there, and they've done movies on both Bobby Jones and Ben Hogan about their careers in golf. But certainly the Masters is just a unique event in America sports and how it's covered in so many memorable Sunday afternoons when everything on the line. And you talk about pressure. And there's no leaning on your offensive guard or your fullback here. You got to be the guy to sink those putts and to make it work on the long drive. So we'll talk a lot more about that with Michael Arkush. And he did come out with the book, The Golf 100, and we'll have him at 5:20, at 4:20 today. When I first took over this job, one of the things I told Kevin Cassidy and Di Newman was that we have so many people locally that they don't get the spotlight shown on them, but man, they're just so great at their profession. And one of them is Boo Schicksnyder, and Boo will be on with us at 4:20 today. And just to think about Boo and what he's done throughout his career, over 40 years, he had an 18-year career as a coach for the LSU track and field team. He's been a part of 13 NCAA championship teams.
Pretty good, Mike.
Two junior college national title teams. He's coached 18 Olympic medalists and 26 Pan American Game medalists. He went to high school at St. James High School, and he went to college at Nicholls State. You know, and he's got a camp that's coming up this weekend, and we'll talk to Boo about it. But you think about a guy that, you know, not a lot of people know about Boo and what he's been able to do. Trained so many athletes from track and field to baseball, football, basketball. Just had a great career, and I thought it was time to have Boo on to talk about that and certainly about his camp for youths in the area this coming Saturday at Nicholls State University. So when we come back, we'll have Boo on with us, and we'll have a lot more here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
we get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Man, he's done it for over 40 years, one of the top trainers in the country, and he sits right in our backyard. Boo Schick-Snyder, and Boo, thanks so much for joining us. Before we start talking about other things, you have a camp this coming Saturday at Nicholls State, and that's where you graduated college from, for some of the youth in the area for speed and conditioning. So tell everybody a little bit about it and how they can get involved.
Yeah, I'm doing a camp. First of all, thanks for having me, Mike, and it's good to talk again. But yeah, I'm having this camp at Nicholls State. It's a fundraiser, actually, that I'm doing for the Nicholls State Track and Field Program. You all know that track and field is kind of a sport that's close to my heart. Anyway, we're going to do the camp. It's for athletes of both genders, boys or girls, age 8 to 12. And it's not a sport-specific camp. It's a speed-based camp. It's going to start on Saturday the 12th at 1, and it's going to extend out till 4 o'clock, so 3 hours, and it's $50. And, again, the proceeds are going to the Nicholls Track and Field Program, and I'm excited about it. I enjoy working with young athletes. I don't get a chance to do it too much, so I'm inviting people to come out, and parents, feel free to bring out your cameras and things like that, because I'll be offering not only some good instruction at the camp, but a lot of good take-home stuff as well. And if you want to get in touch with somebody to register, the website is nicholls.edu/campsandspecialprograms. Camps and Special Programs is separated with hyphens.
Boo, one of the things, man, and I hear it sometimes from guys, I can take a guy that's not fast and I can make him fast. And I say, there ain't no way in the world, okay? God made people fast. Now, what you can do is take a guy who's fast and maybe chip away and get him a little bit faster in this world. But if you're not fast, you can't kind of like bewitched and twinkle your nose and all of a sudden make him fast. It don't work that way.
No, it doesn't. And at the same time, speed is important, but speed is developable. There's a lot of athletes that for one reason or another just don't reach their speed potential, I guess is what we're saying. We all do have a genetic potential. I'm of the opinion, frankly, that probably more athletes don't reach their speed potential than do reach their speed potential. And everybody's capable of improving. Unfortunately, the parents you choose and the heredity and the genetics are the things that probably dictate more than anything else what your ceiling is. But good strategies and good training will get you toward that ceiling.
Well, one of the things, and I read off your resume, and, you know, being part of 13 NCAA championship teams and two junior college national titles and basically almost two dozen Olympic medalists and Pan American game people. What's the one trait the top people in that business have? If there's a trait or two, each of them have.
Well, outside of the talent, I assume, because, you know, ultimately as a coach, you're not really creating anything. You're developing talent, meaning that the talent is there and you're trying to get it out of them. But the one thing that I think these people basically have more than anything else is they have what I call a pioneer spirit, meaning that they train and they are constantly looking forward. Success doesn't affect them. Failure doesn't affect them. They're always looking forward to the next challenge. And in some ways, they're willing to risk everything they have in order to take on that next challenge, in order to take on that next opportunity. You know, sometimes I listen to ESPN radio and those types of channels, and I hear about these athletes and how they may look at their legacies and whatever. The great ones I've had don't care about their legacies. They're just worried about the next thing. You know, and if they fail at the next thing, then they're worried about the one after that. So always looking forward, never being afraid of the next challenge, and actually embracing the next challenge is, to me, probably the single greatest characteristic they show.
Boo, one of the things, and I'll throw it out at you because so many people will call in about the hamstring injury. But, you know, you and I have sat in a room and you've explained that hamstring situation so many times I could repeat it. But I'll let you kind of talk about that's an injury that It's prevalent certainly in the track and field world. We see it in the NFL. And you have, I'm not saying a remedy, but you have something that you think would help you get not having those hamstring injuries.
Yeah, I think what happens, Mike, and in fact, I know what happened, and this is my line of work. You know, I visit NFL camps and go over this kind of stuff with NFL teams and such. But ultimately, hamstring injuries, first of all, are not luck. They happen for reasons. And those reasons are related to biomechanics, meaning that the actual way we move or the actual way forces are transmitted through your muscles and through your bones and so forth create those types of injuries. And there are certain types of training that are helpful as far as prevention and others aren't. And I think what actually happens is because of the fact that when you sprint fast, you know, and maybe an injury happens, then you crawl into a shell and you get nervous. And as a result of that, you don't actually prepare. And then you've got an infestation of hamstring injuries. I've seen this happen so many times on so many teams where one athlete gets a hamstring injury. And it's unfortunate, but it's understandable why it happened. But suddenly now all the coaches, everybody's scared. Nobody's training hard anymore. And then now you have a onslaught of hamstring injuries just because of the fact that everybody got scared and crawled into a shell. So, you know, ultimately, you know, sprinting is important and sprinting is the best way to condition the hamstring. And that's what I try to sell people on.
Boo, if you had your Mount Rushmore of athletes you've worked with, who would be on that Mount Rushmore?
Oh, wow, Mike. It's really hard to say. I mean, because I've had the opportunity to work with so many great ones, you know. I'm sure that Walter Davis and John Moffitt would be up there as well. But there's so many athletes that I've had an opportunity to spend time with and coach and whatever in different capacities. You know, Damian Warner was a person that I've spent a lot of time working with, and he was an Olympic gold medalist. He would, I guess, be one of those people, although I wasn't his only coach and I wasn't the only person responsible for his success. And then I had another young lady at LSU who was a multiple NCAA champ. She was she's in LSU's Hall of Fame, named Suzette Lee, and she was ultimately a freakish athlete. And I guess I would have to put those people up at the top, I guess, as far as people that I actually got a chance to work with.
Who, kind of going back to your talk about the soft tissue and specifically hamstring injuries, I think a lot of fans in New Orleans have obviously been very disappointed with the first 6 years of Zion Williamson's career and how just struck by injury he's been. And most recently, a couple hamstring injuries have really plagued him, the hamstring strains. Is there something that he can do? Or is there, you just kind of attest that to his build? It's a very unique kind of person as far as his athletic build goes. And, you know, the hamstring injuries have started to pile up recently.
Well, that's true. And I also think that's part of the problem is because everybody looks at Zion and the way he's built and the fact that he's built a little differently and feels that he's an exception to the rule. And the bottom line is when you're working with an athlete like this and conditioning and hamstring strengthening is an important part of it, you double down on your basic principles. You don't look at that as an exceptional case in that regard. Looking at it as an exceptional case is what ultimately dooms you to failure in dealing with that particular situation. Yeah, he's a little different as far as the way he's built and some of the anatomical things that you see, but his hamstring injuries occur for the same reasons that any other hamstring injuries actually occur. But because he's a big horsepower person, you know, there's a little more horsepower, so he has a little less room for error.
Boo, one of the guys we saw, and he dominated, you know, certainly fastest man in the world, and Usain Bolt, and a unique athlete in that, you know, he was a guy, just the way he was built, because he sought a tall cut as a sprinter to dominate as for as long as he did. It's really a remarkable feat in today's world.
Yeah, it really is. He was a true generational person, you know, and people that don't really follow the sport of track and field kind of looked at him at the peak of his career. But he's been phenomenal going way back to when he was 14, 15 years old. So everybody kind of, so he was kind of like the LeBron James of track and field, so to speak. Everybody kind of knew when he was coming up in high school that he was just going to be a totally dominant person. And you're correct. He's tall, he's rangy, but honestly, a lot of times people kind of perceive Tall and Reinsy as a disadvantage in the sprints. Actually, it's a tremendous advantage if you're willing to train hard enough to get strong enough to manage those long legs that you have.
Because a lot of times he wasn't the fastest to come out the blocks. Mm-hmm. So I think people say, man, look, he didn't come out the blocks well, but then he ended up catching you and sort of turned around and said, you ain't gonna beat me today. He was unique in that because most sprinters, the really good ones, man, they get out of the blocks like, man, it's like wildfire. That you can't say that Bolt was one of those type of guys.
No, you can't. And, you know, Carl Lewis wasn't either, Mike. You and I are old enough to remember watching Carl run. But at the same time, good sprint coaches teach what's called a race distribution, meaning that being first early doesn't really guarantee you anything. And there are certain mistakes you can make in sprinting that'll actually put you first earlier and cost you later in the race. And people like Carl Lewis, Usain Bolt, they're well coached. They have good race models and what we call good race distributions. And they kind of know exactly where they need to be with each part of the race. You know, if you drive a stick shift, you know you got to spend time in low gear before you get to high gear, or else the engine kind of bogs down. And that's what Usain Bolt is good at. He understands how much time he has to spend in low gear before he can, you know, shift and get up to high speed.
Boo, I got a texter ask me about, do you train people in for the swimming? And also in beach volleyball, that's become, man, you and I grew up, beach volleyball, yeah, you watched that maybe on TV. That was done in California. That wasn't done here. Man, you go to Thibodeau Regional Medical Center, man, they got 8 courts there. And beach volleyball has really taken off, and also the swimming stuff. So is there a specific training for both those individual sports?
Yeah, there is. Every sport has its own unique training regimen. It's funny you should say that about the beach volleyball. It's just incredible how popular that's become when that was just kind of a niche thing so long ago. But yeah, every sport has its own unique routine, its own unique demands, and that means there's a unique training program for that. I don't actually coach athletes in those sports, but I have done some consulting work with volleyball programs, and I've done some consulting work with swimming programs, helping coaches to kind of tailor their programs. But yeah, they're two unique sports, and I really enjoy watching both.
The weightlifting part of things, because, man, you know, kind of like when you and I grew up, it was like, man, you don't lift too many weights. You know, it'll make you muscle bound. And today, that's all they do. And a lot of times, I think maybe sort of a on the downside, they want to look like bodybuilders, but, you know, is it trained for the individual sport? So how the world of weightlifting has really, really changed over our lifetime, especially.
Yeah, it has. You know, I remember in high school, when I was in high school, like weightlifting was practically new, so to speak. And I remember our coach getting a piece of pipe and some old train wheels and welding them and making us do some things. And now we have what we have here today. But I'll be honest with you, Mike. I think there were some of the things that we used to do back then that weren't weightlifting that were very valuable. And to be very frank with you, I agree with you. Like, weight training is undoubtedly a critical part of training for just about any sport. But at the same time, I think that we've kind of gone overboard on weightlifting to some extent in some programs and in some sports, to the point where athletes are not as flexible as they used to be. They're not as skilled and loose as they used to be. And as a result, they pay a little bit of a price for that. And to be frank with you, I think that's real reason why injuries are escalating in certain sports, is just because we kind of overvalue that type of work, and we kind of have those muscle head philosophies. And even though weightlifting is a critical piece, you can't just sell out on it, so to speak. Everything else really has to come together in your program.
Boo, thanks for joining us this evening. But one more time, if anybody's interested in attending your camp, and which is basically a fundraiser for Nichols State Track, and know the young lady who runs the track program there. She's one hell of an athlete too now. Oh, and long distance runner, man, she can do that extremely well. But tell them exactly how they can register, and this will happen this coming Saturday at Nichols State.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She does a phenomenal job with the program without much resources. But again, it's going to be at Nichols under the pavilion by Gidra Stadium. It's going to start at 1 o'clock. It'll be 1 to 4. And again, you can sign up online, as I said earlier. If you do want to sign up on site, you can. But if that's the case, show up early enough to fill out the paperwork.
Boo, thanks so much for joining us. Man, always great to talk to you. And we worked together for a couple years. And, man, it was just unbelievable to hear all your knowledge about it and how it transforms the sports different ways. And so many people adapting to that. And so you've made a big difference, especially Bayou River Parish area, and speaking to so many coaches about not only strength training, but also about the sprint part and muscle tissue stuff. You've done a phenomenal job.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the chance to come on with you guys today.
Thanks so much. Boo Schicksnyder does an unbelievable job. And again, part of 13 NCAA championship teams, 2 junior college national titles, and, you know, talk about 19 Olympic gold medalists, over 24 Pan American game medalists. Guy knows what he's talking about. When we come back, we'll do our Bet 365 triple option feature. I know mine will be on the tight ends group this year. So we'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller, and it's our Bet 365 triple option feature. And I'll do mine on the tight ends. This unit is not as good as it was 2 years ago from a talent depth standpoint, but it's pretty close. And basically, man, you got couple guys that'll go in the first round, and I think 2 guys that'll go in the top 20, Tyler Warren from Penn State, Colston Loveland, both different style players. Tyler is more of a guy that you play inside. Colston is more of the flex tight end, but I've seen Tyler Warren, they've used him as an X and a Y receiver at H-back, fullback, halfback, quarterback, played center a couple times, also played on special teams. Man, he is one heck of a football player. And, man, you watch him on tape. Some of those throws by Drew Allar. And people say, boy, Drew Allar looks good. Yeah, you know what makes him look good? Tyler Warren. Either that or get a new TV. I mean, Tyler Warren, man, he made Drew Allar look really good last year with some catches that were a little bit outside of his catching radius, and he made it look simple. Colston Loveland didn't get as many chances last year because of what happened, J.J. McCarthy going to the NFL. They had a quarterback there that really struggled with accuracy, but I think both of those guys go in the top 20, and it's close for me with Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland, and then at the 3 spot, Mason Taylor from LSU. And I think it's possible, not saying probable, but possible, he could sneak into round 1, but I look at him as a very early second round pick, big, tall, drink of water, sure-handed, catches the ball well, and everything is so smooth, the way he runs his route, the way he catches the ball out front with his hands, and he's fearless going over the middle. You know, he don't mind getting bounced around a little bit. And he's gotten better as an inline blocker. He's become a little bit more physical. And I don't need him to knock him out. I just need him to get in the way as a run blocker. And then that's the wild card in Elijah Arroyo from Miami of Florida. And Elijah, it would hurt the first 2 years at Miami of Florida. And then Arroyo last year, you saw him. He was a favorite target of Cam Ward. When they were looking for something, he got open. And at 6'5 and 250 pounds, there weren't a lot of guys that were going to match up with him over the seam catching the football. I think you will have 4 tight ends go within the top 50. That's how good a group this is. And then certainly after that, a Terrence Ferguson from Oregon, Gunnar Helm from Texas, Harold Fannin Jr. from Bowling Green, who put up some huge numbers. A favorite of mine, maybe like a 3rd, 4th round pick, Aronde Gadsden II. His dad played the NFL for a while. He was the favorite target of Kyle McCord at Syracuse. Caught a lot of passes there. Jay Bringstone, from Clemson, pass-catching tight end. Mitch Evans is more of the blocking tight end from Notre Dame. So, Dan, they got a large group of them here. But I think what's unique is you'll see four tight ends picked within the top 50. And it goes to show those guys probably 10 years ago, they'd have been playing outside linebacker. I know one thing. I know about Mason Taylor's dad, Jason Taylor. I know what he played. He was a stand-up outside linebacker when he played in the NFL. So goes to show the changing world of tight ends, and it is a good group of tight ends in this 2025 draft class.
Guys, I'm going with the New Orleans Pelicans. There's three games left in this season. They are limping towards the finish line. We got out for this evening Jose Alvarado. He's dealing with right calf soreness. Bruce Brown, right knee soreness. And Eve Missy has left ankle soreness. So a lot of soreness going on with this team. We know injuries have been a problem all year long. And last season, what a difference a year makes. Last season, the Pels had the best road record in the NBA. They were 28-14. Right now, they're 7-33 in road games. They're in Milwaukee this evening. If they lose to the Bucks, they'll tie the worst road record in franchise history. Like I said, with the loss this evening in Milwaukee. The good news is when you start looking at stuff for the upcoming draft lottery, right now the Pels are slated at 48% to land in the top four and have a 12.5% chance of getting the top overall pick. We've been going through mock draft simulators. Well, I've been doing the lottery simulator trying to get that Pels that number one pick.
I only did it once, Steve. I did it once and I got the number two pick.
Okay.
So I'm like, that's it.
Hey, that ain't
I'm
bad.
Never doing it again. I will never do it again. But listen, guys, I mean, it's been a brutal year, as we all know, and it's coming to an end. We have three games left. The 76ers did it. They broke their 12-game losing skid. They beat the Washington Wizards. So now the Pelicans will lock down that fourth spot with a loss in any of their final three games. We had someone that texted in when we were talking about this the other day, guys. Could the Pelicans get upwards of the pick, the third best odds? And the issue with that was that Charlotte would have had to win out. They lost to Toronto last night, so that's out of the question. Basically, the Pelicans are now locked into the fourth best odds. So we'll get to that when we cross that bridge in a couple weeks, basically close to a month. Guys, I'm going with the ace matchup on Friday night. Bill Franquez, our friend in the sports information department over at LSU, sent out the pitching matchups for this weekend between LSU and Auburn, a top 10 showdown in at Plainfield Park. You have Cade Anderson versus Sam Dutton on Friday night. And I remember, you know, we were hyping up that Kyson Witherspoon versus Cade Anderson matchup. Cade obviously came out on top, 2-0 victory. Cade goes a complete game shutout against Oklahoma. Sam Dutton has just as good of numbers. He may not be as good of a prospect as Kyson Witherspoon, but the former LSU Tiger this year, guys, 4-2 record, 2.66 ERA, 51 strikeouts in 44 innings pitched. And, you know, Mike, Steve and I talked with Mark Etheridge about it last night, and Mark said the one pitch that's been the difference maker for him is this curveball. It went from being like a mid-70s mile per hour pitch, 75 to like 77. He changed his grip on it, and now it's dropped all the way down to basically 73 to 70. And he had Alabama flummoxed. And Alabama's got a good offense, guys. They have one of the best players in the entire SEC. And they couldn't do anything against Sam Dutton last week. They run Auburn got a run roll victory 10-0. In seven innings, he didn't allow a single run against a good Alabama offense. You know, we'll see what he does against LSU. But it feels like every Friday, guys, it's ace versus ace. I know that Cade Anderson's a great one. But, man, I'm tired of seeing some of these good arms in the SEC.
Well, you go see them when you play them on Friday. And we want to tell everybody you can hear that series Friday and Saturday. It'll be on at 6 o'clock right here on the Big 870 WWL. And on Sunday, 2 p.m. And you can hear it live right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. Charlie, that's it for Bet365 Triple Option. Finishing up here in our number one of sports talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillia along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller. Want to tell everybody at 5:20, we'll have on with us Michael Arkish, who wrote the book The Golf 100, the top 100 golfers of all time. And, man, it's all opinion, but we'll get Mike to talk about that and certainly to talk about all the major tournaments that are going on, certainly at Augusta, and also Jack Marucci at 5:40, right here on the Big 870.